Weather today, 9 degrees centigrade is the high, 2 degrees centigrade is the low. It'll be cold and bright in the morning. A fairly dry start with sunny spells, but scattered showers in the afternoon. Celebrate and rejoice, Tessa Snart has arrived, so we can actually rest easy. Hurrah!
This is the Midweek Drive morning edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Tessa, good morning.
Hello.
So, you enjoyed Cameron Tilbury's selection last night?
I did, I liked that.
Yeah, very good. Marvellous. Did you enjoy the rest of the show? Did you just think, no, after Cameron, we'll just give up?
It's
all right. Marvellous. That's very excellent. We won't actually quiz her from that point of view, after all. It's not a seminar. Parents should be leaving their kids alone, according to Janie Dancher from Teenagers Translated. Hannah, it's not too long ago since you were doing A-levels and such like. Well, 40 years, but what day. from your own perspective, what were your sort of revision hints and tips and so on? Did your parents just say... Just ignore her. She's doing her thing.
Well, a lot of the time, my mum just left me to it because I knew how I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But she was quite in the fact that I did history, and my best way of doing that was to literally tell my mum the whole of history and everything I've got to do.
Right. So assisting from that point of view. There are five top tips to actually sort of work through this. But apparently, the average teenager will only work for 38 minutes before becoming distracted.
I can understand that.
2 in 5 of those surveyed said that mobile phones are the biggest reason they stop revising.
Turn it off.
Otherwise, you can also become a smombie. Have we come across the word smombie? Germany's most popular youth word of 2015, smombie, but it translates to the same in English, smombie. People who wander the streets looking at their smartphones so they don't know where they're going. Smombies. I've already seen 5 in Lincoln this very morning.
It happens. Mm.
You just work on your peripheral vision so you can see without seeing.
True, but in Germany they've also started putting traffic lights on the street pavings as well.
Oh, wow. That's...
So as you're looking down, you know, it's a whole new generational thing. I just raised that because we'll probably come to it as the programme proceeds. Apparently, the other sort of displacement activities that have been used by people to procrastinate over revision and so on, 1 in 6 take the opportunity to tidy their bedroom.
Every time.
Reorganising books or CDs. And 1 in 20, this is the one I particularly liked, admit that when they're revising for exams, they also use some time to dress up their pet.
Yeah.
That was sad, but still. Never
mind. I can relate.
Yeah, so dressing up their pet. We'll find out more about that and a heap of other things after we've talked about allergies and how actually sort of keeping a clean household might just be a way to actually cope with respect to the issue of allergies in general.
One of those nights when you turn out the lights and you sit in the dark and say to yourself, I miss her. It's one of those moods when your body broods and you conjure up her picture and you kiss her. It's one of those things for the pain it brings. You say to yourself, hey, good, like a thousand times before. Love, I'd welcome you again, like you know I did before. Yes, love, you know I did before.
Finally, the citizens of Peterborough and Harrogate can rejoice with the legendary Tessa Snart and Claire Margerison as regular co-presenters on The Midweek Drive.
Yes, and I know the same thing will go for, obviously, the citizens of Harwich and some part of the West Country called Shrewsbury, Shropshire or Gloucestershire. I don't know. It's one of those things, Emily.
It's close.
It's West Country. Specify, once again, it is?
Shropshire.
There we are. Shropshire. Shrewsbury. Marvellous. Or Shrewsbury. I don't know. Let's ask our top Lambda tutor, who is so wonderful. She's not a smombie. She doesn't look at her smartphone whilst wandering aimlessly through the streets of London. She's Lambda's finest, Sarah Huntley. Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. On this bright, sunny, crisp morning from Dulwich Village.
Sarah, if you can't have a game of snowballs at the end of April, when can you have it? You know, that's our basic line. Oh. You know, it's classic. And as we heard yesterday, of course, and Tessa will confirm, in Hawaii, they actually go up to the mountaintop, get the snow,
and take it down, and it melts on the beach. So there we are.
Well, I think the perfect song you should have played for that day, Alex, or perhaps you did, was Four Seasons in One Day. It was ridiculous, yeah. Was it not?
Yeah, it was, but they're a New Zealand band, so we thought we'd Hellfire on that one. It's a crowded
Oh,
house.
Right, yes,
yeah,
yes.
It's marvellous. Yes. We will be talking a bit more about this allergy thing with Dr. Rob Hicks and Aggie McKenzie. Yeah, did you realise Aggie McKenzie from How Clean Is Your House also joined MI5 and MI6 after leaving university?
Nice. No, no.
Take that, Miss Moneypenny.
She's a spy on the old job.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, apparently, women clean more regularly. Unbelievable. However,
careful how you phrase that.
Yeah. Think of the house, dear. The house. Exactly.
Oh dear, it's only 8:10. This is taking on a different connotation completely.
Precisely. Yes. However, men are more likely to pay attention to the cleanliness of their mattress. Make it that
oh,
what
no.
you will. Yeah, I know, exactly.
So women are more likely to get their mops out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yep. There's people living in the east of England, that would be us then, have the filthiest bath mats, with 1 in 10 people never cleaning their bath mat.
Oh, no.
That's
gross.
Well, our southerners tip-top with that then.
Well, actually, the southerners sort of do okay in general. The Scots apparently are the least confident about their cleaning habits. They worry a lot. We talk about this with Aggie. And half the people in the northwest couldn't live without their trusty mop. Those from the, Yorkshire and the Humber, as far as Britain is concerned, are the most obsessive about keeping their towels clean. And a fifth of people living in Yorkshire and the Humber claim to wash their towel every day.
Well, you know, a few germs never did you any harm. I think that's over. Well, over, fellas, actually.
And there we have. We'll find out what Dr. Rob Hicks and Aggie McKenzie have to say about that shortly. Plus, Sarah, as a parent, and as a parent who's got a child who's doing exams and so on.
Don't. You know what I've just done? I'm having a woolly cup. Can you all send your prayers up? I've just dropped her. Giving her a breakfast out, so she's doing her physics practical, and you only get one go at it. And she's got to get the 3 A's in one go to get her place to do medicine at Cardiff. So could we all just say it's
going
to go well?
We'll do more than that. We'll collectively say good luck, Imogen. After three, one, two, three.
Good luck, Imogen.
There we are.
Well, she's gone in, yeah. And with this one, you can take as long as you possibly want.
What, 5 years?
Yes. Everyone else is starting at 10 and she's starting at 8:30.
Nice.
I think the staff got a bit cheesed off last time because they all had to wait for her to come out.
Emma has always been the kind of soul who's diligently waiting for the whole sister. It reminds me of when she was being born, actually, but still, there we are. That's another issue entirely. All those months ago, years, in fact, actually. However, Janie Downshire, working for Teenagers Translated, and Natasha Kizzy from the National Career Service, have actually sort of pointed out that among the most common study sins committed by parents are repeatedly asking, shouldn't you be revising?
Yes, but then, then again, there are some that you do have to ask that, because they aren't.
Proclaiming exams are so much easier these days.
Oh, no.
It's definitely, no. 15% of people actually pretend.
Can I just say, because Alex, at the weekend I had, what do you do with students who are sixth form students who turn up and say, for their Lambda medal, well, I know two pieces when three is what you have to do for the exam.
Let's put that to the jury that are the Midweek Drive-Outs on Thursday. So, Mary Dancy, good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
What would you do with a student who's actually doing a London Academy of Music and Dramatic Arts drama exam, supposed to know three pieces, turns up and says, I know two. What would your response be?
That's problematic.
There was an easy sort of option. What would you do?
What would I do? Mm. Well, I suppose that they would have to take the exam knowing two pieces.
But we know it's an automatic fail if they haven't met the criteria of the syllabus.
Well, maybe they don't sit it. I really
don't
know.
They also thought they could learn a speech from Look Back in Anger in 25 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Hannah, I mean, your thoughts on that? Would you sort of say, it's outrageous, you know, what are you doing? Wasting my time.
I guess they could practice their improvisational skills.
Practice their improvisational skills. Mm-hmm. Nice one. Yeah, that's good. Emily?
Yeah, I think that's one of those where you think, I'm going to wing it about something you really shouldn't wing, and it's most students do it at some point, don't they?
Claire?
As my mum says, fail to prepare, prepare to fail.
Oh, yes, that's a good one, isn't it? Yes.
Perfect preparation prevents poor performance. And Tessa?
I agree with the improvising, give it your best shot and maybe the talent will shine.
Improvising, give it your... But you see, that's why Tessa, being based in Glinton, of course, to be precise.
Oh, yes, we've got to get that word. Can you say it again? Glinton?
Glinton, is that correct?
Glinton really cheered me last Tuesday, Thursday even.
It's what it's there for, you know, Glinton. Not so much sort of the sort of Peterborough experience, but Glinton, which I must actually correct Cameron Tilbury on, because clearly he still thinks you're from Peterborough.
Well, it's my closest city, so it's easier to just say.
It's like saying, you know, our closest sort of world capital is Washington, D.C. It's sort of line and dive for that body. Anyway, that's the sort of life of that. Other sort of issues that students have reported, instance of actually sort of working through things they don't actually need, parents who micromanage revision calendars, parents who pretend to know more than they actually do, and, of course...
Oh, no, I'm not guilty of that.
No comments,
Sarah. It's chemistry and biology. It's not my bag, is it?
Also, incidents of family visits being organised during revision time and parents telling jokes, in inverted commas, in a bid to de-stress their children. And in a complete rural reversal, one example of parents who played their music too loudly. How's it going to help the next generation?
Me and my sister, I was doing my A-levels when Hannah was doing her GCSEs, and the dinner table every night was carnage because we were just both so stressed that we just shouted at each other all the time. And, like,
your
my parents
mother.
Didn't like it. My parents didn't like it, but, you know, they kind of dealt with it somehow. Went away in the caravan a bit, just left us to it. I think that's the best way to do it.
They went away in the caravan.
Yeah. But they didn't pressure us to go with them.
I can understand your mother doing that. It just gets so awful.
Yeah.
Every day is a critical day.
Yeah.
And you just have to... In fact, the only thing that cheers me is I was laughing. I was just thinking to myself, I remember being very under-rehearsed for a New Palm production, and Alexis will know what that's, a repertory company, and being up all night trying to learn lines for the second show that we were doing when the first show had just gone up the night before, going into a cafe in Eastbourne and seeing these A-level students come in, and they were looking whitely death of pale with stress of that day, and it was about sort of 7:30, and I was sitting there with the other actor I'd been up all night trying to learn the lines for the rehearsal we're about to have. We'd actually only had 2 rehearsals before that show went up, and I remember saying to them, hey, you think you've got a bad day? And they said, yeah, no, we've got a worse day. And I always remember that, because I think, well, if you look at the stress of everyone else and you're all in it together, And all the things you wouldn't actually really want to be doing. So I love acting. So however nervous I am on the first night, I think, well, it's something I love doing. I think, would I really like to be a heart surgeon now, getting up this morning, having their sugar puffs and thinking, oh, I'm doing a heart. So everyone's got their thing. Everyone has their...
Yeah, they're probably on strike, Sarah. Don't worry about it. They'll sort of be doing something else.
No, but do you see what I mean? Everybody's got their own stresses, haven't they? And thank God, in this world, everyone's got different talents, because... It wouldn't work, would it, if we all had... I think it's very consoling, is what I'm trying to say, is to know that everybody... You wouldn't be human if you didn't admit to being stressed, I don't think. And it's good to know stress, because you know your limitations and then you know and your challenges. And people that pretend they know it all actually are probably the ones that don't. There we are, my little pistol over.
There we are. I think that deserves a round of applause just for that. Tessa, last 2 questions for Sarah Handley, please.
Have you had a good telephonic link with us this morning?
I'm sorry, I've just talked at you all. Yes, I've had a lovely time.
And will you be joining us again on the show soon?
As long as I haven't blown it. Yes.
You may, sir, actually meet one, possibly 2 of them when we're next doing our London report in a wee while's time. Who knows? It's all very exciting, really. Anyway, life continues.
singer, scholar, festival ambassador, and midweek drivette. It's Eva MacDonald on the Midweek Drive.
Yeah, I know. In the first hour as well. It's unbelievable.
Because
so wild and wacky. It's really wondrous. But it's Richard Fitzwilliam's time as well, as we talk about a young con artist and former CIA agent to embark on an anti-terrorist mission in France. It could almost be, Richard, the adventures of Emily and Hannah next year.
Might it indeed be? I have to say, this, let's be frank about it, Bastille Day is Idris Elba's James Bond audition. I mean, that's the way I see the movie.
Idris Elba as James Bond. I just don't know. Maybe so, but...
Well, there are many who do, and it's directed by James Watkins, and it's got an absolutely hilarious opening, because here we meet an American pickpocket played by Richard Madden, and he's mingling with the tourists at the Sacré-Cœur. I was in Paris, as you know, over the weekend, and this didn't happen to me. I didn't suddenly see girls strip and walk down the...
Really, Richard? That happens to be on a day-by-day basis, or it's still a regular
then,
thing?
And whilst I was looking, my pocket would be picked, wouldn't it? And one of the things he accidentally steals is... turns out to be a ticking bomb in the handbag. And the handbag belongs to Zoe, played by Charlotte Le Bon. She's a terrorist's accomplice. She was about to plant the bomb in the headquarters of a right-wing party, but the idea is no one gets injured. Well, what actually happens is very different, and you enter Sean Breyer, played by Idris Elba, a CIA agent, and he's there to sort matters out. Very devious and duplicitous matters going on. And it has to be said that this is a movie which basically it's talks about or implies that there's a plot involving fascist police. But I do have to say that from the beginning, which involves a thrilling rooftop chase, really impressive, and some extremely good scenery, which I've recently been appreciating. The fact of this movie is that if only it had a better plot and a better script, then it would have really gripped us, because just as James Bond has so many silly fistfights and people constantly sock each other and there's never a mark, Idris Elba should be up to a bit more. He's got a better game. I tremendously admire his Nelson Mandela in Long Walk to Freedom, which is a movie that didn't get thumbs up from most critics. But here you've got Kelly Reilly, for example, in a very badly written role as Brian's boss, and when something, I will not reveal what happens to her in this movie, the preview audience roared with laughter, not what was intended. This is a silly film. It should have been good. It's enjoyable in parts. It's colorful. Elba is fine in his role, but what he needs is a much better script. And for goodness sake, do we need to have so many silly action sequences, which frankly don't make sense? So many police are gunned down, one after another, and at the end you've got this wonderful, well, I saw in the Louvre, I mean, what, looking at Delacroix's Liberty leading the people. I will give no spoilers away, but I will say that the end of this movie is almost Brechtian. And that does it.
I'm very impressed. I mean, a bit of distanciation. That's what Brecht was actually writing for, Idris Elba, clearly.
He was, you're right. Now, that's an important point.
Oh, there we are. And extreme running, always nice, I feel. A bit of rooftop running. What's a movie worth without it?
But that chase is thrillingly filmed, and that's what we need a great deal more of.
Oh, there you are. And you'll get it in Captain America Civil War. But moving on.
moving on from that, which we will be discussing very soon.
Let's just hold fire, Richard. Let's do the usual sort of scenario here, because we've got the whole team. We've got six wonderful midweek drivers. I know. Let's start off with Eva. Bastille Day, is it something which you think, yes, I'll go for that, because at the end of the day, you know, that could be my life.
I do want to go watch something in the cinema, so might as well do that.
There we are. Yeah. Thumbs up for that.
Might as well.
Hannah?
It looks interesting, yeah. I love some different like spy action movies, but it looks quite good.
Okay. And Claire?
I'm not normally a fan of action films, so I think it's something that I'd go see like
even silly action films.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe I want to see it for like the silliness of it. But obviously, it wasn't meant.
He's very good
silly,
when he's doing those Sky Box sets adverts. Yeah. I feel. I mean, he's very. He's got his forte there. And Luther, of course, that's another Idris Elba role.
Yes, and also, I mean, it shows he's got a very, very considerable fan base. Yeah. If he's in the movie, and in fact, he came to the preview, and you can see with a roar of applause how that was appreciated.
Emily.
It looks good. It doesn't look like it's going to be like a classic, so you go see it and then you can want to see it over and over.
Is it going to be up to the level of Jean-Claude Van Damme in years to come? And Chuck Norris,
no,
you know, the greats of action movies, a real artist scenario there. I mean, Tessa.
Yes, I'd go and see it. I don't mind action-packed movies.
Action, but I just wish most of that action, because as I say, again, there's a rooftop chase that I thought was very good, but I wish that most of the action made some sort of sense. They're writing a story which isn't silly, but there it is.
And Mary, who was quoting Byron just a few moments ago, so clearly you sort of think, yeah.
Oh, my goodness me, I mean, this is Byronic if ever there was a movie.
I think I might give this one a miss. It didn't, when we were watching trailer, I didn't seem too keen on it, so I'm not sure.
Lots of running, though. And elevator acting, which I think is always good.
That's exciting. Yeah, but nice.
And fighting, I know, but can't we have a little realism? It's like leading with the,
Realism in Superman versus Batman Dawn of Justice, but you know, you refuse to let that lie.
Said to Sam Mendes, please make a different sort of Spectre. Why didn't he?
Because they had to get the white cat involved somewhere. Moving on. Your next number, apart from obviously your trip to Paris, which was a life experience in its own routine, takes us to which movie, Richard?
It takes us to a fascinating movie called Louder Than Bombs. It's directed by Joachim Trier. It's set in a suburb north of Manhattan. And we meet, but she has already died. In fact, this is a tribute to her, Isabel. She is an award-winning photographer played by Isabel Huppert, who's been one of the top French actresses for many years and turns in a superb performance. I haven't seen her for some time. And at the beginning, she is this photographer who's been to numerous war zones, and we see a film tribute. We know that she is deceased, and we see the effect on her family. And the cohesion of the family, or should I say lack of it, a husband, Jean, who's played by Gabriel Byrne, a very sensitive performance, hasn't come to terms with her death 2 years later, and the rest of her family, a teenager, Conrad, played by Devin Druid, extremely sensitive, I thought, and also an exceptionally good performance by Jonah, who's in fact a new father, other son, played by Jesse Eisenberg. Now, he was...
Yeah, Lex Luthor, let's face it.
How nice of you to bring that in, because I was going to, and you seized the opportunity. When, however, you're looking back, because the gallery is putting on a retrospective of Isabel's work, all sorts of things, the echoes here, in a sense, totally different sense of 45 years, when you look back, what comes up. And we meet her friend and colleague, Richard, played by David Strathairn, an absolutely superb actor. Remember Good Night and Good Luck, such an excellent film. And no question at all, we're starting to learn more about a deeply complex figure. And we're also learning a great deal about her family, the way her death has affected them and their relationships with each other. And this is this wonderfully sensitive film. And the irony of the title is that where she's been to war zones, and of course daily we have images and see images of parts of the world which there are dreadful conflicts. Here, of course, it's set in a salubrious neighborhood, but it doesn't mean that things are not deeply painful, and you're actually looking at a family under the microscope, and the effect that this traumatic death and what is subsequently revealed is absolutely fascinating has had on them. And it's so well acted, absolutely marvelous performances from everyone involved, and so good to see Isabel Huppert, and thinks back movies such as The Lace Maker. She's been in several classics, Very, very good to see her on top form. It's extremely well filmed, and it's very interesting as an insight into the world in which we live, both the wider world and the family unit.
Mary, does this appeal to yourself?
Yeah, it looks really, really good. Cinematically, it looks great. And I really like the idea of the story too. So
larger than bombs.
Yeah.
Oh. Hannah.
Yeah, it does look really interesting. Quite different, I think, to a lot of films. So I'm intrigued.
Difference is good. Vive la différence, as they might have said in La Steel Day. Perhaps they don't. Tessa.
It sounds very moving and emotional, but I think it's definitely one I'd see.
And it's got Lex Luthor in it, of course.
Exactly.
I know, Gene Hackman isn't going to be there and he's the real Lex Luthor. Or is it Kevin Spacey? You never quite know. Claire?
Yeah, it definitely looks like something I would go see. That's very moving and, like the others have said, very beautifully shot. So.
Emily?
It's probably not one I'd go see in the cinema, but I think I'll definitely try and catch it at some point because it does look like an interesting, if a sad film.
And Eva?
It sounds like something I'd go see. I like emotional films, but obviously I couldn't see it because I'm around the corner, but it sounds something that I'd probably go see.
That wasn't a euphemism, by the way, Richard, by saying I'm around the corner. It's not sort of code. It simply means that in the studio layout that exists within this, when we show the trailer, unless actually Eva actually gets up and walks physically across the studio, a chasmic sort of gulf of about 4.5 miles, she's got no chance of actually saying what the rest of the Midweek Drive-Outs actually catch.
Oh, I see. That's what it meant. No, but I'm delighted that there's so much support for this movie because when you see a real gem like this, which is so sensitive, which has got such excellent performances, and which it draws you into a family drama, and then you're really hooked. It's a lovely movie, and it's very moving and it's touching. And as I say, also the filming, and it's absolutely top class. It really is one I'd recommend. And no, you don't have to see it in the cinema, but whilst it is in the cinema, if you have a chance, do go and see it.
And there we have it. And Richard, we've got just enough time to actually say, isn't it exciting that you've got the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge and Prince Harry all likely to be stormtroopers, 2 out of 3, in the next Star Wars movie? Yes?
I think that would be a delightful bug for the next James Bond, for the next Star Wars. I mean, I think that is going to be great fun.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
what a good idea.
If Her Majesty the Queen can do a James Bond routine for 2012, well, why can't...
No, but that actually, I mean, obviously we've had the great celebrations, we haven't had a chance to mention them, of course, yet, for the Queen's 90th birthday, and one of the characteristics of the Queen is, of course, her sense of humour, and how many other monarchs would have parachuted out of... playing as she did.
Most of them would have been pushed, Richard, let's be honest, but never mind. it's all good. Richard, we will speak again next week. Time is so tight, we've got to squeeze in a variety of other bits and pieces as well. So, Emily, would you like to put those last two questions to Richard Fitzwilliams, please?
Yes, so have you had a good telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, and I'm also delighted that Louder Than Bombs received all the thumbs up and support that it did. Do go and see it.
Even round the corner as well. It's fantastic.
Yes, that's true. And will you be joining us again soon?
Oh, yes, I certainly hope so.
Classic line, cleanliness is next to godliness, is certainly very true when it comes to the dynamic duo of our next wonderful co-presenters, the delightful Aggie McKenzie, indeed legendary Aggie McKenzie. Good morning, Aggie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you.
And the equally legendary Dr. Rob Hicks. How are you, Rob?
How kind of you. Thank you. Good morning.
Excellent. Aggie, if we can come to you first, because clearly when you've actually put together the delights of over 50 episodes of Storage Hoarders and, of course, the legendary How Clean Is
is your house. You are the go-to person when it comes to cleanliness and all of these aspects. And despite this recent survey revealing that there are 21 million allergy sufferers in the United Kingdom, there are a significant number, in fact nearly half, who actually don't really clean up their homes regularly.
I know. It's terrible, isn't it? According to the Phillips Home Truths report, a third of us wash our bed sheets only once a month. And one in five of us admit they never clean their mattress. And now, you might have listeners thinking, well, I never clean my mattress, but they might also be wondering why they're always wheezing and coughing and have runny nose and itchy eyes. And the thing is that if you do suffer from allergic reactions, then you need to be dealing with the allergens in your home and outside. You know, it's all about sort of reducing the exposure to them.
And that's absolutely the kind of aspect, Rob, that I think the medical profession has been trying to say for a good number of years. Yes, we do need to obviously have a certain immune system that's built up working through the system. But equally, these allergies that people actually suffer from could possibly be helped substantially by simple, decent cleaning structures.
Yes, I think that's very true. I mean, the key things with managing allergies is to avoid the allergen as best you can. And from, you know, things like dust mite allergy and hay fever with pollen, you know, you can't avoid them totally. But what you can do is reduce your exposure to them. And that's where with the indoor allergies, you know, like pet hairs and obviously the dust mite allergies, cleaning is a very important aspect of that. And I think with the Phillips Home Truths report, you know, it's important not to criticise people's cleaning habits, because, you know, we all live in increasingly busy lives, and it's harder and harder to keep on top of these things. But what the report does say is it just highlights where people might think of focusing their efforts, so that, you know, with, you know, dust mite allergy, it's bedrooms and living rooms is where they congregate the most. And what people can do to actually reduce their exposure. So remembering when you vacuum in to vacuum under the bed as well as just around it. You know, pop the vacuum over the mattress as well and the pillows. And don't forget the places where you sit, sofas, armchairs, vacuum those as well. And, you know, you might think about using an air purifier within the home to get rid of these allergens. When you're dusting, make sure that the duster is, or the cloth is, slightly damp so that you're not just wafting the stuff from one place to another. You're actually collecting it. And although not every one thing works for everyone, there are so many different ways of reducing the levels of the allergens that invariably, with a bit of trial and error and a little bit of focus, people do reduce their exposure, and they benefit, they reap the rewards then of fewer allergy symptoms.
Aggie, when you actually left Scotland to actually work for the Foreign Office in London, did you, and obviously latterly then became patron saint of cleanliness in Scotland, I was astounded to find this survey also sets up the line that the Scots are least confident about their cleaning habits. Abby, what's going on?
Oh, Scots are unconfident about everything. We're a terrible nation. We don't believe in ourselves enough. So,
nonsense.
You know, the trouble is, actually, I'm sure Scots are so full of shame, and they really are, that, you know, they would always sort of say, oh, I'm not that clean. I remember my mum, you know, if for instance her washing had to be out on the line first thing in the morning, you know, if you were someone who put your washing out in the afternoon, well, there was, you know, you were a clerk, really. You lived a sort of shameful life. So I'm sure actually that's not true. Scots are very clean, because otherwise, if they're not, their neighbours would talk about them.
Well, of course. I mean, this is the classic line.
It's true, the
message is there. And Rob, from your own perspective, I mean, clearly working within the medical profession, so where cleanliness is absolutely vital and essential. I mean, I know it seems self-evident truth to actually say that, but do you find that, again, with respect to obviously keeping things clean, and indeed the sort of things that this Phillips survey has actually suggested, you know, are we getting better, or is it a case of no, we're still having to hammer on about cleaning up and so on?
I think we are. I think we are improving. I think we've seen that within hospital environments, you know, with the risk of hospital acquired infections, for example. So there's been a great focus over the last 10 or 15 years with regards to hygiene to reduce the risk of transmitting infections from one person to another. And I think it's what we see now, certainly from the report, is that there are other areas, other aspects of health where cleaning can have great benefits. And when you're talking about, you know, an estimated 21 million people in the UK having allergies, and more than 10 million of those having more than one allergy, and allergies increasing on a sort of 5% level per year in the UK, this is something which is not going to go away. And until we identify precisely why allergies occur and are increasing, and what we can do is we can try and help people suffer less as a consequence of the allergies. And you know, the bottom line is people know an awful lot about hay fever, and they know to try and avoid pollen in the different ways. But people are perhaps are less aware of the dust mite and its dung, which causes the runny eyes and the sneezing and the blocked nose. These are the people you may work with or you may know who you think have always got a cold. You know, but when actually what they've got is an indoor allergy.
Exactly. Allergy Awareness Week, of course, is why we're talking about this whole particular side of things. I would mention inevitably drrobhicks.co.uk as a go-to website, and clearly the even more wonderful aggiemackenzie.co.uk as well, which is just sensational. Hence our little research into finding out your time in the Foreign Office, which is amazing.
Which is actually MI6.
Best not talk about that at this particular stage, otherwise it could set us into a whole different area. As far as Allergy Awareness Week is concerned, presumably My Health, My Home, my.com is probably the best place to go to.
Well,
to
actually, or philips.co.uk, and where you can search for anti-allergen products, such as the air purifiers or anti-allergen vacuum cleaners. That's a good place to go to.
Aggie and Dr. Rob Hicks, has been fantastic touching base with good
stuff. Thank you.
As we said, a dynamic duo of cleanliness. It's like superheroes in every sense of the word, really. I take it you will be able to return in the not too distant future and keep us appraised of life, the universe, and various other bits and pieces as well.
All that and the above.
Never thought I'd actually be referring to Aggie McKenzie as a superheroine, but still, never mind. Ian, you're clearly a man who actually cleans his mattress regularly. Did you sort of resonate with any of that, or did you sort of think, no, nonsense, you need a bit of dust to actually keep you fit these days?
No, actually, when I when I get I take in lodgers from the theatre, and every time. I have to clean the rooms out.
Unbelievable.
I hoover the mattress.
So you are one of the people who actually likes to hoover their mattress as well.
Yes. I don't know if it's any good, but anyway, it makes me feel better. Well, it clears my conscience.
Yeah, clearly, it's wonderful. Okay, quick introductions to Tessa and Claire and Eva and Emily and Hannah and Mary, who are all sort of hanging on every word, basically, and that you're about to actually bring to bear with us, such as Smombi, which is, of course, smartphone users. Who effectively continue to stare at their smartphone whilst walking zombie-like through cities. Yes. Anyway, we must be also plugged as well, Tessa, that I've been remiss over the last few weeks with Ian. I was thinking about this. I'm thinking, you know, Ian is wonderful, but we jibe him about his allegiance for black and white football wearing. And yet we haven't for quite some time plugged what his kind of key thing is, which is a tremendously talented author. So it's worthwhile saying that, yeah, I came across the wonderful series of The Brothers and various other things. So it's well worth accessing that. In fact, I might give you a copy of one of Ian's books to actually read away and critique. So you can also download them from Amazon. The Warrior, of course, The Brothers, a whole heap of other goodies. So it's worthwhile sort of doing that. So there you are, Ian. That's the shameless plug put
in. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sorry.
Can I give some advice to the recipient? Don't accept a signed one, they're worth less.
Honestly, sometimes, really. We have got the musical tribute from Cameron Trilby coming up, which I shall already sort of say Tessa thought it was wonderful, and she actually heard it on the radio yesterday. Did you not? You actually took your dedication to the extent you said, I can't be doing with it in the studio, hearing that sort of crystal clean scenario. Incidentally, Luke Currydean quite rightly sort of identified we have a slight earthing problem. So when you actually hear this slide, that's microphone two, okay? So I just want to say that's up. Just in case you're thinking, why is somebody actually going? It's not Eva going transcendental again. Okay,
around the corner.
Around the corner, sorting that whole thing through. So apart from that, Ian, Tessa already has cast her and nailed her colours to the mast and other sort of mixed metaphors that I can think of as and when appropriate to this next tune. Would you like to listen to another Austin Wallet song? Because I think you actually quite liked his first tune a few weeks back, and he's got another one that's lined up for us now. You know, are you?
Okay, I'm ready. My ears are pricking.
He's ready. Exactly. Long live cowboys.
There's 100 years of history in the thinking going on beneath this cowboy hat. The blood, sweat, and tears and all the hard-fought years just to get him where he's at. Hey. Throwing caution to the wind for the life he defends, cause he knows that's what's right.
Okay, we will throw caution to the wind. We'll go straight to Eva McDonald. Eva, what did you make of Long Live Cowboys?
I like it. It's a good tune.
Good, positive. Emily, you were saying yesterday, oh, what a pity Tessa isn't here to actually jump up and down with joy. You still stand with that? Did you enjoy it yourself, Emily?
I did. Like I say, I think it's very quite traditional country, and I do like the tone of his voice, so I thought it was good fun.
Okay, Tessa, does it sound as good in the studio as it does when you're listening to it as a radio listener?
Yeah, definitely.
Good.
Maybe. I quite like it.
It's a radical thought, I know, Ian. People actually listening to radio programmes at a stay beyond the studio. It's great. Mary, would you still get a thumbs up?
It as much as I liked it last night. It was really good.
Okay. Hannah, first time around for you.
Yeah, I quite liked it. It's quite upbeat and nice tune.
Okay. And Claire?
I think it's got us ready for the day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ian, that of course.
Oh, you've got a full studio there today, haven't you?
Oh, well, you know, the Ian Lennox fans.
It's a bit like Manchester City's football stadium.
Yeah, exactly. You know, all keen. Yes, precisely.
I quite liked it. It was, I quite like the, you know, the Long Live Cowboys theme, quite unusual and quite quirky, yeah.
And long live them. In terms of the German city that has put traffic lights on pavements, so smartphone users don't have to look up from their screens, you can see it there, it's actually Augsburg. Yes. Because Augen, of course, translates as
traffic lights on pavements.
Traffic lights on pavements, so smartphone users don't have to look up from their screens.
I think it was Karl Marx who said that if the Germans ever saw the revolution at a railway station, they'd all buy platform tickets.
Yeah.
That was particularly witty for Karl Marx.
Karl Marx, known for his sense of humour.
Yeah, you know, he's not writing comedian.
Das Kapital. It's a case of good evening, ladies and germs. Have I got a tale for you? Death of a 15-year-old actually prompted the local media, prompted the actual trial of this thing in Augsburg. And apparently the lights are red, like typical stop signals, which mean that even when people are looking down, they'll see when it's not safe to walk. So you can be listening
to four lights, are there?
Lots of
red, amber, green, and April Fool.
Yes, more or less, but mostly red to actually say stop. So if you're looking down, I just think, is this what we're coming to? I mean, Claire, your thoughts on this?
I think initially I thought it was quite a silly idea, but I do think that in terms of when you're sort of, if you're walking in your own world, if you're coming towards some tram lines, which obviously they have quite a lot of in Germany particularly, if you're sort of just in your own bubble and you don't really realise there's a tram line, if there's a line of red lights, like red dot lights, which is what they look like, then I think that actually is quite a good idea. Particularly, like, I know a lot of people do kind of walk around looking at their phones, but in terms of, even if you are just a little bit distracted by your own head, then it is a good way, because sometimes you aren't looking around and paying attention, though you should be. So I think
Emily.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, I think when I thought it was roads, I thought it was, you know, traffic lights to go onto roads, I thought it was a bit silly. But with tram lines, I agree. Like, when I've been in Manchester, it's so easy to walk onto the tram lines without realising that there's any
particularly
difference.
If you're looking at your mobile phone, listening, you know, to Siren FM or other radio stations from that point of view. Hannah?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if at the end of the day it helps save lives, then all the better for it.
As ever, the Harwich superheroine speaks. Tessa?
I agree with Hannah there. If it is going to help in a way, then Why not?
Thumbs up. And Mary obviously nodding, yes. So and Eva. So what seems to be a crazy, insane German idea that we could all pour scorn over has once again proven to be, well, they've just moved ahead. Which means, Claire, you need to put those last two questions to Ian Lennox, because in the next part of the programme, we've got an actor who has featured in a programme that has been written many a time by Arthur McKenzie. Yes, it's The Bill. Eric Richards will be talking about his time on The Bill, because he was in The Bill for an awfully long time.
What part did he play?
Which part did Eric Richards actually play, you ask? As if we
were... Sorry, I've obviously caught you on the hop.
No, of course, he was the one and only Sergeant Bob Cryer, okay?
Oh, right. Sergeant, no, he was on for
years. Yeah, exactly. Sergeant Bob Cryer.
Yeah. The reason I asked was he will certainly have appeared in many of the 30 episodes Arthur wrote.
Exactly. That's the reason. It ran
you probably remember him.
26 years, 1984 to August 2010, and if you look at
have I got time to tell you a quick story about this?
Of course you have.
You know how it, as it began, the years went on, it began to lose ratings, so it became more and more sensationalist. When Arthur was writing about it, it was in its heyday, and they found that one of the actors playing a sergeant, Mr. Cryer, was beginning to have lots of opinions about the part and why we should do this now or the other, and so they asked Arthur to have a word with them. And Arthur said to him, brought him up and said, it wasn't a sergeant, it was a constable, sorry. And Arthur came up to him and said, we're thinking of promoting you to a sergeant. He said, oh, great. You know, it sort of fit him, and he's sort of thinking about the police force and all this sort of stuff he's doing. And he said, I'm moving into another station. So I've got the message and started to hear
it. It's easier than being killed. Very quickly, Claire, last two questions for Ian, please.
Have you had a good telephonic link with us today, Ian?
I've had a lovely time, thank you.
Good. And will you be joining us again soon?
I do hope so.
Whee! Roxanne!